This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're shifting focus, maybe unexpectedly.
Definitely. Away from the usual reports and forecasts.
Exactly. We're diving into a narrative, a story, actually, called Benny the Bear's Acorn Mix-Up. But it's structured, well, perfectly to teach some really fundamental life and, you could say, leadership lessons.
Right. It might sound a bit strange using a children's story like this, but honestly, sometimes these simple tales strip concepts like accountability or opportunity cost or even collaborative innovation down to their absolute core.
That's the plan.
Yeah, so our mission really is to treat this story almost like a high-level case study. We want to pull out those principles that work whether you're, I don't know, fixing a product recall or pivoting a huge project.
I like that error management through the eyes of a hungry bear. Okay, so to kick things off, we need to understand Benny's, let's call it, fatal flaw. The story sets it up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Benny loves snacks more than anything else, simple as that. And he's looking for specific things, honey, apples, and crunchy leaves.
Which is key, that intense focus on, you know, immediate high sugar rewards.
Yeah.
That's what creates this massive blind spot for him.
It's classic confirmation bias, isn't it?
Yes.
But fueled by, well, hunger in this case.
Exactly. He wants chocolate. He's probably thinking about chocolate. So when he sees this shiny basket filled with round little treasures, his brain just leaps.
Connects the dots wrong.
Completely.
Yeah.
It filters reality to match his desire. There's no check, no, maybe these aren't chocolates. The story is really clear. He didn't stop to think. He just, well, dove in.
And you see that, right? In fast-paced environments, making big decisions without validating the data, that's where things go off the rails.
It's assuming the shiny basket holds what you want, not what's actually there.
So this brings us straight to the consequence. The story gives us this fantastic immediate feedback loop.
Oh, yeah. The opportunity cost becomes instantly clear. He scooped up a pawful and crunched down, and the reaction is just visceral. B-L-E-H.
Yeah.
That's the sound of your assumptions crashing headfirst into reality. It's the market saying nope to your big idea.
And he even tries to, like, rationalize it for a second. He calls it the driest, crunchiest, no-sugar cookie I've ever had. Still trying to fit it into his snack framework.
Which is so relatable. When a project fails, what's often the first reaction? Try to reframe it within the original plan instead of admitting the core assumption was just wrong.
Yeah, definitely seen that.
But the story's smart here. The feedback, the correction, it comes from outside. It's immediate, and suddenly the stakes are way higher.
The squirrels.
The squirrels. They're up there squeaking with laughter, the story says. But they're not just mocking him. They deliver the crucial information. Those aren't chocolates, Benny. They're our acorns. We need them for winter.
Okay, boom. The stakes just went from I picked a bad snack to I might have just messed up the entire community's winter food supply.
Totally. It shifts from a personal error to, like you said, a breach of trust, a logistical crisis even.
And this is where accountability really kicks in, isn't it? That turning point.
It is. And what's really interesting is how Benny reacts. He's embarrassed, sure. But then almost immediately, he becomes determined to make things right.
Okay.
And we should probably unpack that. There's a difference between just being reactive, saying sorry, maybe covering the cost and being proactive.
Me.
Meaning committing resources, sometimes overcommitting, not just to fix the damage, but to actively rebuild that trust, maybe even improve the relationship.
Hmm. Okay, but hold on. Is there a risk we're reading too much into this? He's a bear in a story. Most real-world screw-ups, you can't just reset everything for the whole community. Are we setting the bar too high by focusing on this massive overcorrection?
That's a really fair point. But I think the narrative is setting an ideal. It's about repairing reputation, rebuilding trust, things that are often way more valuable than the actual acorns that were lost.
So it's symbolic.
In a way, yeah. Whoa. If Benny had just replaced the exact number of acorns he ate, okay, that's restitution. He paid back the debt, but he wouldn't have achieved, let's call it, redemption. The story says he aimed to gather more acorns than any squirrel had ever seen. That huge effort, that overcorrection, it's strategic. It sends a really clear signal. I messed up, I get it, and I'm committed to this community.
Right. It's about demonstrating commitment beyond just fixing the initial problem. Okay, let's talk about the scale of that commitment then. He tromped through the forest, shaking trees. This isn't a quick apology note.
No way.
This is a massive, immediate shift of his own resources, his time, his energy away from finding his own snacks to solving the community's problem he created.
And that huge task forces him to innovate, right? Suddenly, the problem isn't just finding acorns, it's collecting thousands of tiny things scattered everywhere. How does a big bear solve that efficiently?
He can't do it like the squirrels.
Exactly. He's too big, too clumsy for that micro-level work. This is where the story gives us that first little aha moment about using what you've got, leveraging your assets, even constraints.
He comes up with these really specific, kind of charming methods. The story mentions balancing acorns on his nose, juggling them with his paws.
Which sounds maybe a bit silly, but shows creativity under pressure.
But the big one, the game changer, is rolling giant piles down hills like acorn avalanches.
Yeah. That's the key innovation. He turns his size, which was initially a liability, remembering crunching the acorns, into his biggest asset for mass transport.
Right.
The acorn avalanche is brilliant. It's using physics, his strength, to solve a logistics problem at scale. It's like primitive supply chain management. Paw by paw couldn't compete.
It shows incredible adaptability. He didn't just try harder using the squirrel method. He changed his whole approach based on his unique strengths.
Sure.
He adapted his own infrastructure, his big bear body, to the problem.
And the results, they were dramatic. The story says by sunset, the squirrels had so many acorns, their storage tree looked like it was stuffed with popcorn.
So success wasn't just meeting the need, it was massively exceeding it.
Exactly. The collective gain from Benny's huge innovative effort ended up being far greater than the individual loss he initially caused. It moves beyond simple repayment into, like, collaborative value creation.
Okay, so this leads us nicely to the main takeaway, the core lesson here. It's about reframing the reward, isn't it?
Completely. Benny really internalizes this. He gets it. He says, acorns aren't good snacks for me, which is the practical learning. But then the punchline. Helping my friends is the sweetest treat of all. That's the big shift in his value system.
He goes from chasing that instant sugar hit, the chocolate fantasy, to valuing something much more lasting, more social, more, I guess, emotionally rewarding, the contribution, the repair.
It's the ultimate argument against just chasing instant gratification, right?
Yeah.
Hard work, the overcorrection, it delivers something far more meaningful than the quick snack ever could have. It's validation from others, tied to a real internal change.
And that change gets formalized. The public recognition seals it. The squirrels don't just say thanks. They cheered for Benny.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets his title. Official Acorn Helper of Maplewood Forest. He literally turned a major blunder into a respected, earned position in the community.
And that title, if we're looking at the bigger picture, it represents formalized trust. He didn't just get appointed. He earned it by showing this incredible commitment, this accountability, this creative problem solving with others.
So the story's definition of a true friend, or maybe a valuable team member in our terms,
is someone who owns their mistake, admits it, and then pours extraordinary effort and creativity into making things even better than before the mistake happened.
Okay, so wrapping this up for you, our listener, whether you're thinking about a project that went sideways or just a professional stumble, this little story offers some pretty clear lessons.
Yeah, watch out for that confirmation bias. See what you expect to see. Own up to mistakes quickly and fully.
And maybe most importantly, tackle the fix with creativity and effort that goes beyond just simple repayment. Aim for that acorn avalanche level of making things right.
That journey from the yucky taste of the no sugar cookie acorn to earning that lasting title, official acorn helper. That's kind of the roadmap, isn't it?
It really is.
It shows that working together, that kindness defined here as really proactive, large-scale repair, it feels better. It is more rewarding than just focusing on your own immediate wants.
So we saw Benny transform from this kind of greedy, mistaken bear focused only on his own snacks.
Right.
To this celebrated, almost indispensable logistical expert for the whole forest. His long-term value came not from hiding the mistake, but from owning it and turning the recovery into this huge shared success.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to chew on, maybe. If the real lasting sweetness of a reward like trust, reputation, that feeling of contribution is tied to the kindness and effort you put into fixing an error, does successfully owning and fixing a mistake actually create a greater, more durable reward for everyone involved than just succeeding smoothly without hitting any bumps?
That's interesting. Is the struggle and redemption inherently more valuable?
What really stands out to you when you think about the difference between Benny's quick, disappointing snack attempt and that lasting title he earned through all that hard work and collaboration? Something to consider.